This is the Hail Review on Hail
Radio Cast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Saturday. Welcome to another edition of the flagship show of Yale Radio Cast, The Mail Review. Starring your boy Mark L. Of course, in the building with my man, Dylan Yale, the namesake. What's good, bruh?
What's going on, my guy, Marcus?
Hey, I'm chilling, man. Back, man. Back in the studio. You know, we did the remote show last week. You know, I had to pull back for a minute. Had to pull back.
Had to figure out your life.
Had to figure out my whole life for a second.
Had to get it together.
Hey, it is what it is, though. You got to do it.
Retool, redesign, rebuild.
That's correct. Shout out to the upper room for trying to hold me down.
I'm going to blame it on the upper room. We see what y'all doing out the upper room.
It's all good.
That's
it's
why
all
I always
good.
Come with my coffee.
And don't forget to bring the coffee. That's correct, my brother. How's your week been, brother?
Man, my week has been extremely busy. Look, I'm not going to complain about it, though.
I mean, why would you?
I could be stagnant and not doing nothing and hoping I could be doing something.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm never going to complain about any position I'm in. As our brother TR says, it lets you know you're living.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? So even with all kind of trials and tribulations and everything we go through and everything that we got to face, it ain't nothing but life.
It's just life.
But, you know, we here to take it on as we do as men. Head on.
Hey, let's do it.
Taking a challenge.
Let's get it done.
Chest poked out.
Hey.
What's that new motto?
Hey, that new motto. Look, that new motto dropped on me, man. It just came in. It just kind of came from the sky. It said, look, I'm going to tell it like it is. I just hope you can take it like it is.
Hey, in case y'all don't know, that is the new mail.
That is the new mail review motto.
What was said about one Malcolm X?
Yes, it was. So I'm gonna go with that. It just struck me and it hit a spot in
the heart in your soul.
Hey, kind of. You know, it's all about if your feelings sometimes. It is.
Another running theme with us.
It's another running theme. So it's all good. But other than that, man. Hey, it's been a good week. It's been a good time. We're going to talk about some wonderful things today.
Right. We got an outstanding interview.
The rundown on this brother with this interview today. My goodness. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I'm going to just tease the audience with it. We're going to start with football star. And we're going to end up with nonprofit organization.
Yeah.
Now
there's some stops along the way.
Let me tell you something, though. Boy, have y'all ever seen one of them pictures where you look at it and it look like one thing at first and then it changes on you and you look from a different angle, you see some other things, and by the time you get the fullness of the picture, you've been on a couple of little vacations along the way where you've seen some things.
That was an outstanding breakdown.
We going to talk today with definitely one of the most dynamic brothers I have met in a while, you know, aside from the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So we always like to talk to other extraordinary gentlemen. This is also an extraordinary gentleman that we have in the studio today.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be...
But we're going to circle around to it. We got to make it fresh for y'all. We got to keep it a little... We're going to lead into it.
Man.
If you already saw the advertisement, Brother Kedrick Williams, how you doing, Brother Kedrick? How you
What's
doing?
Good,
Thank
brother.
You for chiming in on the stream. But before we lead into that, this is something that me and our TR discussed after our show last week. And we talked about donations and contributions.
Yes.
We had some very generous donations and contributions, which is we truly appreciate for everybody that has supported your Radio Cast.
Absolutely.
So we decided to put something together, and we're going to highlight the donators and contributors to the brand of Yale Entertainment, the Mail Review, Pimp Talk, and all the shows that are Sage Marie, Divine Timing, all of the shows that we have up under the brand. So this week we're going to highlight two companies, right?
Yep, absolutely.
We're going to start out, go ahead and start out with... Miss Ashley Larkin.
Yes.
And the name of her company,
Damani Speaks.
Yes. Which is in support of autism awareness.
Yes.
And her son, he is an autistic child. outstanding young man. You see him right there in the picture.
Yep, absolutely.
And she's trying to create a you know, just a company based around supporting and things going on with kids with autism.
Absolutely.
And just bring awareness to it. And I can say this, this is something that I understand truly with my oldest son. So very much understood the trials and the, you know, the things that you have to deal with when your child is autistic.
Right. And so, the way they view the world
and the way they
being
the
able
world.
To yes. help them see the world.
Yes, and
absolutely.
Help and actually help you see the
and
world.
Help you see the world through their eyes.
It is definitely yes, will really. Make you react differently to how you think kids are. You know, it gets you out of a box of expectation of normal.
Correct.
You know.
Correct.
A boxed expectation of how a child or people in general mm-hmm. act. So. Shout out to you, Ashley Larkin. Thank
Absolutely.
You for your contribution to supporting the Yale Radio Cast.
Thank
and
you
as
so much.
Well, yes. shout out once again. Thank you to the Connecting the Links for a Change Foundation.
Thank you to Ms. Shirley
for your contribution to our company over here at Yale Radio Cast, Yale Entertainment, and RTV. We appreciate both of you. Once again, we will be highlighting these companies throughout the months and more companies to come with donations and contributions.
Absolutely.
You know, once again, thank you. What we will do, though, just let y'all know, we're going to have a... Let's go in and we'll talk about who we got in today, Mark. You know, let's go ahead and get quick. And let's go ahead and highlight a little
bit. Listen, listen.
Gave out some introduction.
Yes, this gentleman, actually met him at the Links, mm-hmm. actually at the Links event that we had last month. So, outstanding gentleman. I'm just telling you right now, as I told you, we're gonna start out with somebody who is football. What is more manly than football?
What is more manly than
being a football guy, man?
Right.
And we're gonna end up at nonprofit organization. But the story of this gentleman is one that's gonna touch every facet of just about every listener out there. I'm almost okay. sure of it. Ladies and gentlemen, in the studio with us today, we have my man,
Mr. Travis Barber.
Travis Barber.
Thank you.
Welcome,
thank
sir.
You,
welcome. Welcome. Absolutely.
Hold up. And son.
And I was going to say, and son. And I'm sure he knows this story, so he's going to be like, man, I'm out here this all the time. But man, listen to me. Welcome to you, Mr. Barber. Welcome.
Thank you
for joining us today on this fine Saturday with the Mail Review. Just give you a little bit of rundown on the show. I know Dallas probably told you, man, we basically look at the world and we give our explanation through a male perspective here. So, you know, the thing about it is what we discovered is a lot of people think they know how men think. But until you actually sit down and talk to men and hear
men,
how we think.
As a collective.
They think, you know, we all think alike and we all think on the same things. But men, we are definitely multifaceted. So just to give you a little rundown on what we do here at the Mail Review. So, yeah, definitely, sir. Welcome. To the show today. And I mean, your story, man, the little bits that I know of your story have been blowing me away. I've been sitting here going to my mind like, how did this man get through this? I mean, it's a long road, but brother, you came through it and you're still going through it, and that's the thing. And people say usually you can't run up against something and stop. You got to go through things. You got to go through things to get to the good parts.
Right.
But let's kind of start a little bit. Are you from here? Where are you from?
I was just born in Beaufort, South Carolina.
Beaufort, South Carolina. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. I'm familiar being a Marine. A former Marine, I'm familiar with Buford. Yeah.
I don't know nothing about it. I was just born there.
It's okay. Not wrong with that. Right on. Okay, so you was born in Buford, South Carolina. Go ahead. Continue, sir.
I was raised in Fairburn, Georgia.
Okay. Gotcha. Raised in Fairburn. Okay. Very good. So what was it like growing up in Fairburn, Georgia at the time you were coming up?
It was beautiful. It was about like boys in the hood.
Oh, wow. Wait. Yeah, he said beautiful boys in the hood.
Beautiful boys in the hood.
That's all we knew.
Okay, gotcha. Understood, man.
Everybody knew everybody in the neighborhood. And
who was the furious style.
There had to be a fierce
style.
There
had
style.
To be a fierce style. In my neighborhood.
Had to be an old it man that everybody talked to. And he had
put
that.
Down the gun, Trey.
You know, that kind of dude. Right.
All our OG was somebody, you better keep your pistol and keep some money.
I know, that's right.
Wasn't no fierce style at all.
We was just furious.
Yeah.
Dig it, man. That's all right. That's all right. Yeah. All right, so you came up in Fairfield, Georgia. You said it was like boys in the hood around there. Everybody kind of grew up together. You know, you had a gaggle of friends, a lot of people you went to school with and everything. So tell me about when did you get involved with football? Did you start on like a peewee level? Or
yeah, peewee level.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
You know, we started really throw them up, bust them up.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No shoes on.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. That's that real football. Yeah, we play the hood. On the concrete, on the grass, whatever. Mean,
if you ain't did it that way, you ain't did it yet.
You ain't do it.
You ain't ready for no.
No contact sports.
Until you start in the park, on the street.
Exactly.
In the backyard.
Go to the car and turn left. You gotta do it like that. That's it, right. You gotta do it like that. Right on, brother. Okay, so you started out playing football at the Pee Wee League level. And then as you move forward into more organized football, was that high school?
Well, Little League, from Little League
to
high school. Cause my age, we went from high school, went from elementary to high school.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. No middle school on my side.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, all right, right on. And you definitely became a standout. What position did you play?
I played on DN. All
right.
I flunked out my 10th grade, my 9th grade year.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't play my 9th grade year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was into everything.
Okay, gotcha. It was just what kind of kept you away from the football? Because, you know, usually, you know, people make a choice.
We left elementary school at 7th grade, and you get to high school is 8 through 12, you know, with the teenagers, for real.
Yeah.
Okay. As a kid, there was just so much going on.
There's a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, the girls, everything.
Oh, my God. Oh, you introduced the girls. That's it.
It's over with.
Once the girls you start
hear that.
No more hambos.
Listen, we are admitting, once we get in tune with women, we are admitting it's over with.
It's over with. Son, done. Just done. Okay. All right. So you had some trouble 9th grade year, so you weren't able to play football at that point. So tell me, how did your trajectory change at that point? That you weren't able to play football? That had to be.
I got kicked out of eighth grade. I got sent to another school in another city.
Okay.
So when I got to the other school, I got kicked out of Campbell. I had to go to Palmetto.
Okay, gotcha.
So from there, I kind of just meet new people.
Okay, gotcha.
So then that year closed, we went to Creekside.
Okay, gotcha.
So from there, the varsity coach, he remembered me from my 8th grade year.
Okay.
He was just like, what the hell you going to do with your life, son? You going to piss it away?
Yeah.
He looked at me with so much disgust.
Joe Carl.
And walked off, and I'm just like, who the hell he talking to?
Right. Oh, boy, there you go. That's your furious right there.
He ignited something in me when he did that.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. And he made you...
Yeah, I never had a man talk to me like that. I just, you know, like, yeah, that triggered something in me.
Okay, gotcha. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, people talk a lot about, you know, harsh talk when you talk to the youth. And everybody's on this...
passive.
Know, yeah, they're on this passive.
Lead with love.
Lead with, which is fine, but I never felt unloved when, you know, I'm old school.
I felt like the discipline measure that was given to me, like that strictness was...
was warranted, right? First.
I think that was love.
That absolutely is love.
You know what I'm saying? When you got the parents saying, hey, I'm trying to steer you this way so you can stay out of trouble.
Right.
Because behind the scenes is, I've done what you've done. I've been where you've been. Yeah. I've made the mistakes you made.
Right.
And I'm trying to actually keep you away from that to let you know, yeah, you could do this.
Right.
But it's going to be repercussions.
Correct.
So, yeah.
And in the meantime, on top of that, I said what I said.
And I said
do what I said. That's why my foot is pointed in this direction.
Yeah.
So, so this is what we grew up with. I'll be 50 this year. So this is what I'm talking about. So we grew up with that type of understanding. So this man speaking to you this way, put a light in you,
yes,
a beginning of a light in you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so from that point, what did you decide?
I went ahead and got my grades together, and I got on the field, and I went out there and damn near took a position. Only reason I didn't start because there were two seniors in front of me, but
okay,
they to this day, they already knew, like, boy,
You was the one.
For real. Like, okay. Every time I go in, I got a sack, a rush, or a fumble, or something.
That's okay. What I'm talking about.
So, you know, every opportunity I got to run on that varsity field as a ninth grader.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I had to go do what I had to do.
Yes, sir. Well, right on, brother. That's all right. Well, that's cool. That sounds like a great story.
So we got a downside to that. Uh-oh. That we're going to slowly transgress into.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
Because...
That story don't stop.
The story don't stop right there.
It sounds great at this point.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Right.
You had a little consternation in there, and then you met this gentleman. What was the coach's name?
Amos McQuarrie.
You met Amos McQuarrie.
Is he still around?
Yeah, my dog too. It's my partner still.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Shout out to him.
I almost went ahead of y'all.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no problem. I got you. But yeah, so you met him. He helped to actually put this light and put the spark in you, and that helped you to go ahead and start pulling your life together at that point.
Yes, sir.
Grades. You know, the stuff that you're responsible for.
Exactly. Grades.
You know, stuff like that. So, okay. So, as we move forward in our program here, things started to change for you. Can you tell me, was there any event that started to change, the way your trajectory was going, where you started to pull away from football, or you started to pull away from...
When I left college, you know, I got a 4-year scholarship to Georgia Southern.
Okay.
When I got to school, you know, football had became a job. Next level, everybody, it's a whole nother level of playing, because you got to play in that classroom first.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it became a class instead of a game.
Okay, gotcha.
Then everything else was so. When you take a man who been a rushing outside defensive end his entire life, then you go take him and stand him up in two technique. You want me to read the running back receiver? It's a whole nother. Now you taking away from my ability to instinctually go get the ball.
Okay, gotcha.
But they don't want instinct.
They want you to follow the program.
Yeah.
Gotcha. What's the phrase they use nowadays when they say trust the process?
Trust the process. I live and die by that theory.
Trust the process.
Yeah. Live and die by that theory right there.
Right.
Okay. So what I want to do, thank you, Mr. Ball, for coming in. I want to go ahead and go into a little small commercial break. I want to let them sizzle on the topic, because this man right here, with all that said and then going to where he went,
yes,
it's an outstanding journey.
Correct.
And man, just him telling you and saying that this, because I read up a little bit, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. How do we get from there to here?
We're going to take that break.
To over there.
Because we're going over here.
Because
listen, y'all, just stay tuned. You hear him laughing.
Yeah, I'm laughing because.
Stay tuned, because he knows.
He's laughing because he was there in the middle of the journey.
He was in the middle of the journey. Can't nobody tell a story like him, y'all. Hold on tight. Stay with us here on the Mail Review. We'll be back with you in a couple of seconds here. Just stand by. As always, the motto is get the business. Just a moment.
6'2", looking sick up in that 6'2". Yeah, Radio Cast, the home of the hits. We already have plenty of music for the radio, but this right here is for the streets. Tune in to Hard Block Radio. That's right, music straight off the block. From the ride to the club, from trap to gangster rap. We got it right here on Yale Radio Cast.
Hey, it's your girl, Kay Chantel, your favorite one from Women in the Mic. I have a question. Do you own your own business and need advertising? Do you provide a service and want to increase your clientele? Well, bring your advertising needs to YaleRadioCast.com. We are on Apple Podcasts, Pandora, and iHeartRadio. We offer graphic design, web design, and video services. So, not only can you grow your business with Yale RadioCast, you can also listen to the hottest independent artists. Go to YaleRadioCast.com and get the gold standard.
Yeah, Radio Cast, the gold standard of online radio. We already bring you all hits all day, but this one right here is for my hip-hop heads. tune in to Lyrical Exercise Radio. All bars, all day. You already know how we bringing it from the East Coast to the West Coast to down South and even international. Hip Hop Ain't Dead is right here on Yale Radio Cast. This is Dylan Yale, the program director of Yale Entertainment and Yale Radio Cast. If you feel like you're the person to talk about politics, sports, entertainment, and more, Yale Radio Cast is giving opportunities to those who are interested in a career in podcasting. We are now being heard by over 20 streaming platforms, including iHeartRadio, Pandora Music, Amazon Music, Apple Podcast, and more. Let Yale Radio Cast be the brand that delivers your voice to the world. Contact us at YaleRadioCast.com or email us at YaleEnt1@gmail.com. The Yale brand is the gold standard, and this is Yale Radio Cast. Get the business.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to the Mail Review. Thank you again for joining us. Welcome back. We are ready to go back in with our special guest in the studio, my man Travis Barber. When we left off, we were talking about this wonderful scholarship that you had to go ahead and play some real ball on a college level, and it turned into a class for you. That's what I know. Can you tell us from that point, sir? You sitting here, you got the scholarship going. Tell me, what was the next thing that happened that came down to this man now? And you got to be what 19, 20 at this point?
Yeah, 19.
About 19 years old, 18, right?
19, yep.
Okay. All right, so you got this whole big world open up to you. Tell me a little bit about what happened.
But once again, it was a whole new level of women.
Okay.
With their own partner.
Everybody with their mama. Don't nobody got mama at home. We ain't sneaking around.
You mean I could pull up at any time?
Anytime,
oh, my God.
You ain't got to sneak in through the door. You ain't got to sneak
right
in through
the window.
Right in the front door.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord.
Hey, man, they tried to hit me. They gave me a tutor, though. She was from Brazil.
Oh,
the fix was already in.
It was already set
me up, man.
Set you up. A Brazilian tutor.
Oh, man.
How many of them is that?
It was two of them.
It was two. Lord have mercy.
Boy, this ain't a setup of market.
I'm trying to tell you. We might have you on another show. We got to hear this story.
Hey, man.
All right, so they gave you a tutor. So you got a tutor. You got your football thing going on. Okay. Tell me how things started to change.
This is how most dogs movies start.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Nah, it was just so much fun, man, every day, man. We're like, who going to, you got to be so disciplined in college.
Yes, sir.
To really, especially be a student athlete, you know, and with all that, them temptations.
Yep.
And I felt weak for it.
You felt weak for the temptation.
Yeah, and I stayed 1 year, came back home.
Okay.
And just started, I think I worked like two jobs for like a week or two.
Okay.
And I ended up starting fighting dogs, and from there, ended up with the drugs.
Okay. All right. So you went from in the dog fighting, and then started into the street level pharmaceuticals industry.
Yeah, because most of all the big time dope boys messing with the dogs.
They fought dogs, right? Because they, you know, little gambling, little stuff like that. Oh my God, man! You know, we had a really famous dog fighting incident. We're not gonna talk about it.
We're not.
Yeah, we don't want to start you because we know how you feel about certain teams. But back there was a quarterback. We'll call him
Ron Mexico.
Yes, Ron Mexico. Ron Mexico used to fight dogs, and they put him in jail for a while. Yeah. And
was this around that time?
No, it was way before.
It was before then. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
And once again, you know, like growing up in our community and our culture, even the violence, the drug selling, the drug abuse, the dog fight, the whole neighborhood was dysfunctional.
It all
so
went,
you know,
together.
You really can't just blame a man or a person for doing something within the scope of their community or their outreach.
Okay, gotcha.
Because it's right there, it's next door, it's on your
right
front
there.
Porch.
Okay, gotcha.
You're gonna partake in one way or another. You're gonna sell the drug, you're gonna use the drugs, or you may be strong enough to just walk that straight and narrow.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. All right.
Now, I don't condone fighting dogs and none of that.
Right.
But no, look, this is my story. This is what I did.
Yeah.
So I got where I'm at today.
Right, got you. Okay. Right. All right. So you got involved with doing this. Let's say you did this for a few years. At what point did you decide, or what point, or how was it decided for you that this is not the path that I want to be on? Is it?
Well, the first time I got shot, it was a part what came with the streets.
Okay.
So the retaliation was put out.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, the last time I got shot twice. That's what I call the murder case.
Oh, wow. Okay. So basically the violence, so we got the dog fight, we got the drugs, we got the violence, we got the drug abuse, we got everything else happening here at home, and then you got shot.
Yeah, I got shot at the club in Carrollton.
You got shot
Was it anything with rival?
They tried to say that, but we just went nothing to kick it at West Georgia College.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get to. You said you got shot like you were just... sometimes you got to go into the story.
Yeah.
People hear you got shot, but we already know people say, well, I need more of the story.
Correct.
Of how it got to that.
Yeah, you know, most small towns, they're territory about the women and everything else. So we go down there from the city, buying bottles of Moet, acting up. Then, you know.
So, they got jealous of the Flash. Jealous,
yeah, so they tried to rob my buddies. It didn't go as planned. Big melee.
Okay.
And I ended up getting shot by two different cats.
Oh, my God. Man.
And then the foot and the chest.
Oh, my God.
How long were you down from that? Well,
about 2 weeks.
The experience, shot in the chest. Shot in the foot, one thing. When you say shot in the chest, we have that. We have a different set of eyes.
Yeah.
Explain that to the public.
But at that moment, my biggest fear was just laying in that parking lot, just hoping I wasn't finna die.
Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
And everything going on. And then my partner's still over there in the riot.
Okay, in the mix of everything. Yeah,
uh-huh. You know, like 50 of them, it was like 6 of us.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, like...
anything could have went.
Yeah, exactly.
It already went wrong, but it could have gotten worse. It could have been worse.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, at that moment, I still had my gun on me.
Okay.
But I knew the area where the fight was, I had 6 of my buddies over there.
Okay, gotcha.
So I just dumped it in the air.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
And that really what got me up out of there.
I got you. Okay. Man, wow.
That's a story, man.
That is a hell of a story, man. So you got shot at that point by 2 different people.
Yes, sir.
You got shot in the foot and shot in the chest. You managed to clear out the parking lot. Everybody, you know, folks got away.
Yeah.
You were able to get through it. What were your thoughts as you were recovering? Was there at some point did you look at that as, hey, is this a wake up call for me? Or did you just look at that as just this is something random? It's just what it is. Because a lot of people just say it's just a part of the game. You know, people think about that. And like even nowadays with the way the violence that happens that we see day to day, especially within our community. You know, I'm not a black on black crime person because I think crime happens whatever community you in.
The percentages and numbers are the same no matter where
in white communities as they are in black communities as they are in, you know, other communities. So, but with everything that's happening today, like what were you thinking at that point while you were recovering from this?
I didn't have all the information at first. I didn't know a young man had got killed.
Oh, wow. Okay, gotcha. So somebody did actually
lose their life. Whoever shot me in the foot shot their partner in the back with the same 22.
Oh, my God.
They hit with a 3.8 in the chest. But, you know, on the ride to the hospital, I'm worried about I got on all white, so the blood is just
everywhere.
Like the hole.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm gonna make it or not.
Right.
But you know, once everything kind of settled down, then the police came. I found out dude got killed. There was a whole total different mindset then.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Because now we playing with life now.
Yeah.
We playing with life. This ain't just a scrap in the park. Exactly. I've had barroom brawls, being in the military. But yeah, when you introduce an element of death in there.
Yeah.
When you start realizing, hey, wait a minute, this is kind of precious. Okay, so, all right, so you found that out. You found out that somebody passed. How did you move forward from that point? What did you see as far as a path forward from this?
Well, the uncertainty of did my bullet hit Buddy, what he got killed with. They wouldn't release no information. So at that point, like, you know, I really just got to go on the run. Now, cause they looking for me, got my picture on the news.
Okay.
And, you know, it was just crazy. I'm like, I'm 25, so, you know, I'm a boy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm terrified.
Yeah. Oh my God, man. Wow. So you took off, disappeared for a while. We ain't gonna go into all the extra details of that. You know, stuff be stuffing.
Stuff be stuffing.
But so finally, once that all came to pass, did they finally release the information?
Yeah, 11 months later when they had me in the county jail.
Okay, so they caught you. They caught up with you.
I turned myself in.
You turned yourself in. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. You made a choice to turn yourself in. Was there anybody who influenced you to do that, or was that a decision that you decided?
My mom and my grandmama kept calling my phone. I had no terms.
They were going to turn me in. Let me ask something, because I did want to circle back to that part, because I was wondering where the parental guidance was at.
Yeah.
Because you said your mom and your grandma. Yeah. Of course, my first question is fatherly influence.
Yeah. I don't know if my grandfather got, but he wasn't one of those types.
Okay. Okay.
He loved you, but he didn't do no talking.
Right.
Okay.
You know, because a lot of times, only person who could talk to you in those moments sometimes may be the father, maybe the male influence. The mother's always going to leave with love, nothing, you know what I'm saying, as they should, as, you know, they're used to doing. But sometimes you need somebody to really say, hey, man,
look, be a man, stand up.
Or might see you going a certain way, and he may not even see what you're doing, but that man may know.
Got you.
Because.
Yeah. Based on how you moving.
That boy in school, all them guts, because you said, you got 2 spits. Nurse. No. Okay.
What?
Okay. I need to talk to you real fast.
Yeah, let me go ahead and give you a little game. Right, gotcha. Right. Okay, so, right. Okay. So your mom and grandma, they kept calling your phone, because they were seeking you. They knew you were okay, but they kept trying to get you to go ahead and try to get this over with. This is basically what the case was.
Right? They didn't want the police to catch up with me on the streets. They're still that same fear.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like they didn't know what they was going to do to me. They caught me first.
Correct. What they're trying to seek for murder charges.
Yeah, exactly.
Armed and dangerous. Right. Okay. Gotcha. So you did go and you turned yourself in and let them go ahead and start getting on with the case.
I went with my lawyer.
Okay. You did. You had a lawyer. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. You had legal representation. That's good. Was it a lawyer you found, or was it somebody that they assigned to you?
No, it was my lawyer.
It was your lawyer. Okay, gotcha. Okay, all right. My man had a lawyer. That's what I'm talking about.
He's a businessman.
Already ready. Okay, gotcha. All right, so you did turn yourself in. They went ahead and got on with the case and everything, and they finally came out with the information. Yeah. And at the end of that,
at the end of that, they said, I was responsible for the bullet since it was directed for me, so they tried to charge me with murder with transferred intent.
Never heard of that.
Wait, what?
Murder with transferred intent.
Yeah, they shooting at me and they miss me and hit somebody else. They can't catch him. It won't get you because it won't.
Whoa!
That is how?
Yeah.
Hold up, have we ever heard that in
any other case? I have never heard that.
First time for everything.
I have never heard that.
Have you ever heard anybody else say that though, bro?
No. No.
This is the thing that I'm confused about. So, we in a gunfight.
I was going to prison no matter what.
That's what it was.
But for them trumping up the charges, that's what they do with certain people.
Yeah, uh-huh.
As they trumping up the charges. Yeah. You know what, we gonna... How can we spend this to put that on him? Bullet for him, but since somebody else got hit, we gonna go ahead and put it on him.
Because he was involved in the gunfight.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Man, imagine being in that role. And everybody saying, yeah, that's it. That's the ticket.
I can't. That's crazy. So, all right. So they sentenced you with that. And then what was the sentence?
Found guilty for aggravated assault and carrying a weapon during the commission of a crime. They gave me 15 for the aggravated assault, and they gave me 5 for my gun, round per second.
5 for the gun. Okay, so 20 years.
Yes, sir.
My goodness. They gave you a 20-year sentence.
They came with a plea, though.
I got to hear this. What did they, with the charge they gave you, I want to hear what they offered you.
I think a 10-5 involuntary manslaughter.
10-5 involuntary manslaughter.
Had I already did a year. They said I probably had about a year or so.
Okay, got you. But you decided to go ahead and go.
I didn't kill that man.
You didn't do it. Exactly, right.
Talking shit.
And see, that... Man, that is probably a lot of our people are sitting behind bars for taking these pleas that people say is a good idea. But what do you do when you actually know, hey, listen, I'm innocent. I really didn't do it. Now, I may have been there, I may have been involved, yeah. but I didn't do this.
They didn't care who shot me.
Yeah, that was the next question. Did anybody else go to jail behind you?
No,
you were shot twice.
They didn't give a damn. They were mad I didn't die.
Let me slow down a little. All right, so shout out to everybody on the stream. Appreciate everybody on the stream. If y'all got any questions for this brother, go ahead and call in.
Please do.
678-834-8668. We got the phone lines open for Mr. Travis Barber. This is a very interesting story,
yes.
to say the least.
And it's still going.
And it's still going. For somebody in our presence, because we talk about things that we see in our community from the news side of it.
Yes. Yeah.
We actually get the actual story step by step as it happens.
Correct.
With somebody who has been in the system prior to leading to. So go ahead and give us a call, man. 678-834-8668. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Okay. So, all right. So they didn't care about who shot you. They gave you this. You went to trial. You ended up with 20 years. All right, so 20 years, that had to be disheartening. Nobody wants to be locked up, I can understand that. But you go and they take you to prison, not jail, because there's a difference, y'all, between jail and prison. He went to prison, so you went to prison. What were your thoughts behind those bars, man? What were your thoughts having your freedom? I mean, I've been clapped up a few times for some traffic tickets and some stuff, like that, right? and I swear to God, you swear that I was a hard criminal. I mean, them 48 hours were terrible, man. It was terrible for me. I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but I'm thinking to myself, if somebody told me that I had to go to jail for 20 years, I would have fainted, bro. I would have fainted.
I did.
Oh, my God. I would have fainted. Well, I feel your pain, man. Oh, my God.
I'm 25,
and you really didn't do it. Yeah. That's the part that kills,
life was so unfair for me at that point.
Okay.
Even all the things I had done that I didn't get caught for, I'm just like, I don't deserve this.
Gotcha.
And, and then at that point, ain't no suicide, but you got to go walk the walk.
Yep, you got to go in there and do it.
Yeah, so it took me about 3 years to really just get
acclimated.
Yeah, and say, this is my life.
Okay, okay, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. So you went in and you sat there and you went, I definitely know you went through different trials and tribulations.
Oh, absolutely. Everything you can name.
Yep. Any and all things, I can imagine, brother. And definitely my heart goes out to you. What started to change within you? So you got acclimated after 3 years. You've been there for X amount of time. What started to change in you? What started to make you begin to see the world in a different way? And what started to give you hope of the world beyond those bars? Because I can't imagine hope is something that's easy to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of hope, the concept of freedom.
The audacity of hope.
Audacity of hope, yeah. Yes. That's good. That's good. I like that.
But for me, like my whole life, I always wanted a father.
Okay.
In
okay.
my games.
Okay.
And
okay.
Get being that to them what I didn't have, then being stripped of that freedom, that right, that gift, that blessing, they still was watching me.
Yes.
As a convict. And so I had to, every time they would come, I wanted to be done, did something better, take a new class, or just having another muscle or something to let them know that I'm getting stronger mentally, physically, and spiritually every time y'all see me.
That's fantastic. And at that point, you had, now, because we hadn't even talked about the kids, you had children at that time.
Four sons.
You had four sons?
Four sons, wife, two houses, tow truck, barbershop.
Oh, my God.
Hey,
like,
dogs.
See? Now, that's the best piece of the story.
25. You know, the world
25.
I'm a man named Travis.
I'm saying. My goodness. Okay, you had all of that happening at the time. Oh, my God.
So we got your son in the building right now.
Yes.
So go ahead and grab that mic, young man, and tell us what you think so far about just as the son to the journey of your father, as far as what you know coming up in him. I would assume for a minute not being there for some portions of your life, or has he always been there, or did he see the, did he experience some of this? Okay. So what's your interpretation of these moments,
right,
of him not being there?
The departure, it was definitely tough. It was a different trajectory that changed overall.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, I was always having fun, going to sports, practices, going to different towns, like Disney World, and, just living the life of a childhood.
Right. Got you. So he encouraged you to do all the things you wanted to do, definitely, as a father would with the child, right? So you definitely...
They're wrestling and everything.
Hey.
Everything really? I did, I wanted them to do.
Absolutely.
Living a great life.
Got you.
Living a great life.
So now, y'all listening now, we talking about a father here now. We talking about a father here who wants his children to have the best, right? He wants them to have the best of the world, what the world has to offer. So he is encouraging this. So don't believe, you know, for one second that this man was one dimensional and this is what he did and he was just a bad seed and this, that, and the other. He had a feeling like most men do that have children. They want their children to have better than them. So that's great. I'm glad to hear that. So it didn't really change anything for you at that time. It didn't seem like anything different going on. So by the time all of this happened and he, you know, he got shot and then he disappeared for a while and then ended up going to prison, how did that affect you? What did that make you believe at that point? Not about him in general, but just about life in general. You just think the world was just picking on your dad?
I mean, I still was in a child's place at the time. So.
Yep. Okay. So you wasn't minding no business with yours, right? Okay. Fair enough. So you wasn't involved, but you did recognize the absence, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Pretty much. I mean, at that time, it was just all of school for me.
Okay. Gotcha.
It changed all the practices and going. It wasn't fun no more.
I got you, because he was not there to. Yeah. Encourage or to be
the
there
courage, for you. Even with moms, she's having trouble taking us, and then, you know, just the back and forth.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's mom's in the house by herself taking care of four boys.
I got you. Okay. So, gotcha. Gotcha.
Okay. A total sudden change. Like, it's crazy.
Excellent. All right, man. We're right on. And so while you were dealing with this, you were definitely doing your best to try to hurry up to get back to raising Absolutely. Your boys.
Yeah, and for me, the one of the biggest things that killed me was when I called, she told me that the GBI had came in and just raided the whole house with my whole family. That, like,
oh my God,
the trauma that they experienced with that, probably still, I know it does.
Uh-huh.
You know, affects just them, yeah. Having the police come in, tell you get out, take you outside, put you on the ground, and tear your whole house up. So, you know, when you're in the streets, man, it affects. More than just you.
Yeah. It affects everybody around
you. Yeah, and that little money wasn't worth none of this stuff that I sent my people through.
I got you. Man, that is... Wow. Man.
So listen, we got a lot of things maybe similar to your experience that we see these days. You know, with our current generation of our men.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the underlining narrative is lack of guidance. Influenced by social media, influenced by music, influenced by television, influenced by our own hoods.
Yeah.
Influenced by our surroundings. What do you think about what we see as far as the youth of today? And it's like they don't want to hear anything when people who may have been there before them are trying to say, hey, listen.
This ain't the way.
Follow me a little bit. What do you think about that?
In my journey, right now where I sit at, I can thank God for everything I went through. Because if I wouldn't have, I wouldn't be right here and I wouldn't be giving a damn about nobody else's child.
Mm.
Gotcha.
With my trials and tribulation, me raising a prison, 1,500 inmates, and I got 50 in my dorm, and it's like 700 of them got to meet with me damn near every day, every week, for an encouraging word, just to be in my presence.
Okay.
Let me know that I was just more than a drug dealer, more than a dog fighter, more than an athlete.
Absolutely.
And it hurt me knowing that I was so inspirational to these other young men, and I couldn't be that to my boys.
I got you.
But it fueled me to do unto them as I want done unto mine.
Okay, got you.
And if you ain't got no money or no reputation, black boys don't want to hear nothing you got to say.
Usually,
and there you go.
That's the thing. That's the thing. And that's what we're talking about with the lack of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you believe that that's all that's out there, I mean, why would you listen to anybody else?
Right. You got to be
you got to see the other side of things. You know, I really appreciate, as we was talking about, my upbringing, you know, born and raised in Pensacola. And I see the sole reason that my mother tried to get me out of Pensacola. And I was thrown into the military a little bit. The options were be here and suffer the consequences of a city that has nothing built for you. And the best way that a mother knew how was, I just got to get him somewhere else the best way I know possible.
Yeah.
Like it, you know, even the men in the city weren't the best men to follow for mentorship. Either,
exactly.
You know, and the uncles are gone.
Yeah.
My uncles are gone at this time. Rest in peace to those gentlemen who were the influences of me. Now I'm a teen going into adulthood. Get out here, go to the military.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go home, and every now I look at it, I say, oh, I see what, yeah.
what
I see
yeah, why it, take, I was done. It takes yes. going back. It takes going back to see that. My mother used to say that too, all the time. Hey, them same dudes that's standing on the corner right now,
mm-hmm.
if you come back 5 years from now, they're going to be standing there. I'd True. Be damned if she wasn't lying.
Yeah, so we see a lot of stuff in the news, and we won't mention names or anything like that, you know, because we don't want to perpetuate the narrative.
Correct. Yeah.
What do you think? Wholeheartedly. Candidly.
Hey, man, it's without the resources, our people are going to continue to suffer. And these young men need resource centers. Because I got a fourth grade book club, and one of my fifth graders, I said, why you read the chapters? He said, my little sister teasing. So this man, fifth grade, babysitting. And I understand exactly what he's going through.
Yeah.
So, but a young boy like that, he going to do what he got to do to take care of his family.
He will.
Absolutely. First chance he get to go to the left and get some quick money, he going to do it. So, you know, with my program, I want to go in and provide the resources that they need so they ain't got to look to the left or look to the streets. Because when I see the need, most of them ain't even got to tell me. I know, so if you sleep in class every day, you might be homeless.
Right.
Hey, Mr. Bob, you ain't got nothing to eat? You get a food desert in your home and in your community. So what my program does is I see the need and I meet the need. And they had to stop the violence rally. I left 30 minutes prior to a young man being killed.
Yes.
That broke my heart because even a man died. And then them little girls that was out on the dance team, all 50, 60 of them going to be
traumatized.
They need counseling.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they're going to grow up, and eventually, if we don't get them the help that they need, that's going to be the new norm for them too, right. Seeing brothers and right. sisters get killed.
Shout out to April Showers on the stream. She said, awesome to your program. Thank you to April Showers. Wanda Perkins said, I would not allow my son to return to Pensacola. She already knows the environment of Pensacola. You know, we got to go back.
We got to go back with resources. Cause when I got out of prison, I had to go back to my community yes. with the resources.
Right.
And now my partner see me different because I'm coming back with the police, with the mayor, with the sheriff.
Right.
With what we need. Because everybody can't just have hitters in their phone.
Correct. You can't just
somebody got to know a lawyer. Somebody got to know
somebody.
Somebody got to know somebody.
Hey man, that's why we got Josh the intern.
That's it. We have to have
a less melanated brother.
Yes. We got Josh the intern. We call him White Chocolate. So once you go through and you did mention you went to prison. You were there for a minute. Things started to change. You started to help to mentor while you were behind bars.
Once I started educating myself.
Okay, got you.
I got with some other mentors, because like it's so many wise brothers, and it's amazing the knowledge that these folks have inside the wall.
Yeah, and that's another narrative that we need to kill. That the fact that you are behind bars, like you are less educated, you're less intelligent.
Right?
That you know, we all make mistakes. Some people just tend to not get caught, or some people get caught and they have a system put in place for them before them to say, we're just going to either hide this, or we're just going to give you some probation, we're just going to put this to the side.
Yeah.
So you left with an image of, we got these guys over here and they're just dumb for what they do. Which right. is, you can't consider it dumb for what you've done,
right.
but it comes with experience of,
it does.
Okay, made a mistake, now how do we get out of this mistake?
Exactly.
And that's where we have to learn and find who we are.
Correct. And even in prison, I surrounded myself with greatness. Gotcha. I met a young man. I'm going to get him soon. I get some money. Named DC. He got locked up at 14.
Okay.
He committed a crime trying to get in the gang. Killed the pregnant lady. This man been locked up since he was 14. He's probably right now. He probably like 40. I'm 40. So he got to be like 41.
Okay. Gotcha.
This man knows German, Spanish, French. This man is amazing.
Okay.
But he committed a crime as a child that may
keep him locked out of stuff.
All that greatness is right there, man.
Right.
And brothers like that who I surrounded myself with to get my vernacular up, get my intellect, and just like, you only locked up if you want to be trapped.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like they deserve the repercussions of the crime?
God gave me grace as well. I can't cast nobody to hell or heaven.
Okay.
I thank him for sparing me because I know I deserve a life sentence for the things I didn't get caught for.
Okay.
Gotcha. And so if he is merciful enough to let me walk up by them doors and show the community and everybody that there is room for change, yes, given an opportunity,
yes,
I want to be that example.
Right. Because yeah, easily, and I was talking to a friend of mine about this just the other day.
Just being from Chicago, you've seen it.
Oh, my God. Listen, my mother knew. She recommended one place. She said, "You want to go to Atlanta?" I was like, "Sydney, let me go."
No, okay.
Sydney, right now. For real. Because Chicago, I'm going to just leave it at that.
That's no saying.
Chicago, Southside, Chicago.
Leave that it man at that, bro. Hit the table with passion.
Yes, I'm telling you, bro. I was so good. I wanted to get out of Chicago when I was 12, bro. That's how bad I wanted to leave Chicago.
So with Chicago being in the condition that it's in.
Yes.
And us being one of the most powerful countries in the world,
yes,
we can't go in there and do nothing about that.
That's the problem, and that's the thing we never understood. How
can are you we asking, or is that a statement?
That's
it was rhetorical.
Think, yeah, it's rhetorical, but you ask the same valid questions we ask ourselves every day. Folks that are from Chicago, I told my kids, I have grown sons now, and I told them, I said, I would have been a whole different person. If y'all grew up in Chicago, yeah, I would have went with two on the hip, yeah, to, yeah, take y'all to school in the morning.
Yeah.
My son just experienced, he graduated in 2019, yeah, 18, and he since then has experienced three friends that he grew up with that has passed away.
That's what I'm talking about.
No gun violence.
Gun violence.
Gun violence.
Gun violence. Outstanding young men through whatever might have been in front of them. One of them went to Kennesaw State, hit the national fame quarterback, just a similar deal, mm-hmm, story. Went home and after a dice game. So, you know, and I'm seeing what he's going through and how it's affecting my son mentally.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Just to think.
Just to be in the environment. And I'm, you know, of course, got to bring him up here. And I'm like, oh, shit, I don't really need better.
Right.
I do need him next to me.
Right.
Because we got to go through some things, mm-hmm, before I get him next to me, you know, just for the guidance perspective of things. But I'm trying to have a conversation with the family, like, well, don't think bringing him to Atlanta from Pensacola saves him from
grace.
The environment of Pensacola. Yeah. It just brings him to the environment of Atlanta.
Correct.
So, yeah.
But then at the end of the day, you know, all my sons all got different talents and got different friends and got different perspectives on everything. And everybody gonna be their own individual, but it's our job as the parent to give them the tools that they need to do whatever it is they want to do.
Right.
And to do it the right way. Yeah, whatever is right for them.
Like my mother loved me. She, I couldn't spend the night on nobody's house. I was like 18, 17. I was ready to get on about that. But I ended up being the kingpin.
Right. Imagine.
I end up calling the shots.
Is it nurture or nurture?
How much money do you think you
nature or nurture
gained through your illegal activities, I'll say.
So, I was responsible for a lot. I wasn't ringing up. I was getting shipments. So, you know, it's totally different. People ringing up in the city, that's not a plug.
I got you.
You just connected.
Gotcha.
It's totally different. So, you know, I was responsible for a lot.
Gotcha.
At 25. You know, really 24.
Right. Yeah, because, yeah, oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
oh, my
like,
God.
Yeah, like, yeah, for real. And, you know, even with all that I'm responsible for then, I'm responsible for so much more now. Because it's easy to be responsible for death.
Gotcha.
That's the easy responsibility.
Yeah,
it is. When you're responsible for life,
that's a bigger responsibility.
I'm on a whole nother plane.
I'm even going to go so far as to argue, even going through those situations, it's like it was preparing you for something bigger.
Absolutely.
Because being able to recognize certain things from that aspect? Because I imagine, I'm going to tell you, it's paranoia. That's all I got to say. And you know what I'm, you feel what I'm saying, right? Because you got to choose who you're going to trust for real.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
It's paranoia. So when you move into something that's a little more definitely not that dangerous and desperate, it helps you, it trains you to be able to recognize, yeah, that person probably ain't got my best interest at heart. I'm going to go the other way. But it's not a life or death situation right then.
This is more dangerous thing. Because
you think so. That's it. That's what I was going to talk to
If I get behind the wrong politician that I'm trying to get in office, and he or she don't get a law passed or gets a law enacted, and it's going to kill 2 million other brothers.
Got you. Then you still on the wrong side of history.
I'm still on the wrong side.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. So you go back to you getting out, and then how did life change for you again once you got out? You started doing this mentorship. How did your mentorship start? Did it start with your sons and then branch from there?
No, it started in prison.
It started in prison.
It started
okay.
in the dungeon. It started in there.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it started in there. Just having the ability to listen.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, and then having, you know, being just considerate and mindful. A lot of Americans don't have that.
Okay, gotcha.
That'll take you a long way.
Got you.
You know, so you know, I come home. I probably was a mentor before I left. I always was the team captain, the most popular.
Okay.
I want to be around them, so I already had that skill set. Well, it was a gift. I thought it was just, I was just
it's
cool.
Absolutely a gift. Yeah. Because you already, I mean, just
growing them onto me, you know.
Look, you don't get to be a kingpin without a gift of a gab, being able to talk and deal with people. Let's just keep it 100, right?
Yeah.
You know, because ain't nobody going to listen to an asshole.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ain't
not really. Not really. Not without somebody coming for him.
Well, I digress.
See what I'm saying? So you got to have some sort of skill. That's a skill set. Yeah. But see, that's a thing that a lot of people don't understand. Just because people grow up in their situations in the hood and certain things does not mean that these people are throwaways.
Absolutely.
These people have skills that you wouldn't believe that if applied in the proper place and at the proper time, you could either wake up and be El Chapo or wake up and be Obama.
And again,
right?
The DA in my case told my entire family that I was riding to the core.
Riding to the core.
Yeah, he riding to the core. He's real respectable, but he's riding to the core.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, today as I sit here, he got to eat them words.
He has to. And every time you do something new,
for real,
something to help your people, he is eating more crow. I'm talking about the wings, the toes, all of it.
For real.
That's it. That's okay, what I'm talking about.
So now, I guess we could lead into where our brother is right now, which is outstanding position in life.
Yes.
You know, he's been through the fight.
Been through
still
the
in the fight, really.
Punch it.
We never out the fight. We
different opponent.
Yes.
Different opponent.
High level.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it requires you to have a different level of training.
Yes.
A different drawing board, if you will. So I do want to take another break, you know, so we can actually talk about where he is now with his nonprofit organization.
Yes.
How he put things into perspective for him and for the people that are around him.
Yes.
That are now following his words and how he has taken what he has learned and turned it into a program that helps and benefits others, especially the youth.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Wanda Perkins. How did you resolve conflicts amongst the guys confined within the prison walls? Were you successful in doing so? Let's answer that question before we go into the break.
Yeah.
How was you?
I wasn't. It was crazy that, you know, all the gang members looked up to me, even the officers. And in prison, it's a code of conduct that we convicts abide by.
Okay.
And you got to get permission to do certain things. If you violate one of the codes, one of the laws, stealing, telling, any of that, it's consequences with inside of the prison,
right,
amongst us.
You got your own self-contained legal system.
Absolutely.
I got
so
you.
With that being acted, I got to hand down the law.
Okay,
so gotcha. I was like the judge, pretty much.
Or
so
you was judge, or you jury and execute? No,
no. Let's not go into that. We're right on.
I was a big dog.
You're wrong.
I gotta let you know. There's certain things I can't step in.
I can't help you with that.
It's already been written.
It's done.
Before
right.
you did it.
Yep.
You knew what it was.
Yeah.
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it.
Yeah. You knew the job was dangerous when you took it. That's it. That's real. Okay, well, right on. But yeah, okay. I'm going to say, man, yeah, we'll take a little slight break. We'll definitely come back and we'll get in there. Because I'm going to tell you, this sounds like this should be a movie.
Sounds like this should be a movie.
We're going to talk about like that when we come back.
I think we could put that in position.
I think we should.
I think we might be able to.
Y'all stay tuned.
Let's just see if we can create something during the commercial break.
Commercial break, we're going to see. Cool. Seems like it should be a movie. Y'all stay tuned. Hold on. Thank you.
This is Dylan Yale, the program director of Yale Entertainment and Yale Radio Cast. If you feel like you're the person to talk about politics, sports, entertainment, and more, Yale Radio Cast is giving opportunities to those who are interested in a career in podcasting. We are now being heard by over 20 streaming platforms, including iHeartRadio, Pandora Music, Amazon Music, Apple Podcast, and more. Let Yale Radio Cast be the brand that delivers your voice to the world. Contact us at yaleradiocast.com or email us at yaleent1@gmail.com. The Yale brand is the gold standard, and this is Yale Radio Cast. Get the business.
This is Divine Timing with your girl, Seisha Marie Yuki of Blue Your Energy Witch. It's going to be real life stories, real people, and real situations. Get your journal. Get you some tissue. Get your accountability partner. Kick back, relax, sip on some wine, and let's vibe. And ask some questions, because I am going to be transparent. This is Yale Radio Cast.
Coming at you live on Saturday mornings, The Mail Review. Join me, Mark L., TR, Josh the Intern, and Dylan Yale. Come kick it with the leg, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. We out here doing extraordinary things. Find out how men really think, how the world looks through our eyes. We talk about all the things that affect males. Tune in and check us out on The Mail Review, the gentlemen that are going to take you there from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on YaleRadioCast.com. Get the business.
Hey, man, what's up, man? It's your boy Pimp Snail, man.
Jim B. The Truth, co-host of Pimp Talk, YBDT, you heard?
Tune in to Pimp Talk, man. We're going to give y'all a little flavor of what we got going on around here.
We bringing knowledge, we bringing inspiration, we bringing all that feel-good stuff that you may be lacking in your everyday life.
There are ways to try to reach out to these young people to change the world a little bit. Join your boy Pimp Snail, man. 7 to 9.
Yeah, Radio Cast and RTV every Monday, you heard?
You heard?
All right, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you and welcome back to the Mail Review, y'all. And
it was hot on that, bro.
Hey, listen. I'm still shooketh, trying to get my mind together. We in the studio today with our good friend, brother Travis Barber.
Yes.
And through the magic of Yale Radio Cast.
And he's still going to beat up the table.
Yeah, he's going to beat the table.
I'm going to stop beating up the table.
I literally told this guy to
he
stop.
He just told me stop beating up the table. I'm sorry. I'm hard headed, y'all. I'm hard headed. Yes. And speaking of that.
Detroit.
Speaking of that, through the magic, we have Behind the Trap.
Yeah, we just put that together.
While we was on break. I mean, the story was so incredible, we decided that this was the time. Travis, we should go behind the trap, and here we are, ladies and gentlemen. We have a small clip of this wonderful, I'm going to tell you right now, this thing right here. This is a documentary. If y'all want to see this story, it's amazing. Okay? Go ahead and check out this clip of Behind the Trap.
The hardest part about the dope game for me was my plug being in Cali. We go out in the basement, put the money down, blood everywhere. We dump the clip on that car, man. So you get them to the station, tell them dude on that kid. And y'all friend did it. And y'all tell us who he is, y'all gonna be charged with accessory to murder, facing life in prison. I can hear him drop the phone.
Now, my bad on the editing. I didn't get to drop it on May the 11th. You know, but we just put that together the past... Shout out to the people that put that together, though, brother. Let's talk about Behind the Trap. Let's talk about it.
Yes.
Behind the Trap. That's my documentary. Like, the people that know me after prison, they know Travis. Mm-hmm. And my people who've been knowing me all my life, they know Trap. But, you know, sometimes it's hard for my people who know Trap to... interact and deal with Travis.
Gotcha.
That whole new mindset.
Right.
And the people that know Travis don't realize that Trap is still here.
He's still in there.
Yeah, I don't want to play.
Okay, so we got another question from Miss Perkins. Shout out for your questions and comments on the stream. Are you using those skills now that you have that you are a leader in your community to resolve conflicts with those young people? Well, here we are, Miss Perkins. The Trap. Let's talk about it.
Every day. I'm in the school every day. I got my book club in Usher Carter Elementary, which is on the west side, 3 minutes from Blue Flame. Them kids are off of Bankhead. Y'all call it Metro Hollowell, but
Bankhead.
Yeah. So them little boys at 19, they already come to school with it, talking about guns and everything. So I had to take the police up there one day just to have a talk with my boys about the dangers of sending pictures of pistols and not knowing how a parent gonna respond to a child being threatened. So yes, I'm using my platform, using my skill set to resolve issues, get ahead of the curve. But these schools gotta pull back the curtain so brothers like me can get in there and know what's going on, because the teachers are busy.
That's true. The teachers, not to say that they don't know, but you know, they might have had a different path in life.
Absolutely.
Where even if they do know, they are restricted from talking about
certain things
because of the position that they're in.
Correct.
So that's another thing, because Mr. Wanda Perkins, I'll go ahead and let everybody know that's my sister. She was a school teacher. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest influence of me outside of my mother, to be honest with you. You know, that helped mark my career path to the things that I do. So it's all about influence. Go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, it definitely big things talking about them bringing guns to school, and the thing about it is it seems like you gotta start earlier.
Earlier. That's why I went to the elementary.
Yeah, that's great, because if you wait until high school, it's too late, man. I mean,
I'm gonna say it's too late.
I'm gonna say it's definitely close to being, you know, to the point where the cynicism starts to set in, because hey, this world is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that we see. And it's funny that you mentioned about guns and talking about bringing it to school, because you just saw the incident that happened on Facebook recently with the girl who had the full scholarship to go to Tennessee State. Mm-hmm. And she was going to prom, and she got these prom pictures with all these guns.
I've seen that.
And lost the scholarship.
Right. What do you think about that, bro?
Where's the parents?
I'm trying to understand why. Yeah, why would you? Yeah,
because if anything, nothing's wrong with taking pictures. Like, because I think it might have been you or TR. Somebody posted some pictures of some other group of kids.
Oh yeah, some other group,
other collective group of kids who did the same thing.
Correct.
And it was a group of.
But they ain't got nothing to do with us.
Right. Nothing to do with us. It's a different set of rules.
It's a different set of rules, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we have to lead with, okay, so. Because I actually had this conversation with my son, you know, about what may happen if he's in a certain situation. And he said, well, that's racism. And I said, yes, it is. I'm glad you understand that.
Correct.
Yet and still, this is the position that we're in, where we have to carry ourselves. Like, the racism doesn't stop because it is racism.
Correct.
What we have to do is know what's wise for us, how we conduct ourselves because of the racism.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it comes down to. So, you said, okay, so you have that.
You said, where's the parents?
Yeah,
so I'm on my boy's page like every day. I see something. Hey, dog.
What's this?
You done told him to pull something?
Hey, on them. My other son be doing like 80. Like, hey, partner, what you doing? You tripping.
Right.
Yeah. He was trying to ride around with, what he got, the new thing, what he got, the little paintball gun or something, ride around?
It caused, what, I think jail blasts?
Jail black, they got a new gun.
Well, also, it's just BB gun.
BB gun, yeah, yeah. So I told my son, I said, hey, boy, it's already on the news. It's a problem. You got these in your car, and you got your rear going. You asking for trouble, son. Right?
Yeah.
You know what, Daddy? You're right.
Shout out to our member of the Mail Review, my brother, Tyrone Roberts, who has a question as well. Do you feel there's a difference in the communication with the youth today, with social media being an influence versus previous generations?
It is, but the difference from the previous generation and the social media is I'm in the schools. I'm in their face.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm there.
Gotcha.
And they see my social media page, and all I'm promoting is family, life, love, hope, inspiration, and being a grandfather.
I got you.
And I'm one of the coolest cats on earth, and so everybody loves me.
So I got to stop
promoting. Respect me.
So I got to stop promoting petty.
Well, let's not be hasty. Let's not be hasty. But no, you got a point though, the thing is, just like our parents listen to, let's just say they watch the news every night. Mm-hmm. These kids are on social media every day, all day long, for different reasons. I know it's crazy. I remember when I would open up Facebook and it'd be 4 hours later. It's like, oh my God, what was I doing for 4 hours? On Facebook.
Right.
Being petty.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing for 4 hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's easy now for them to get their messages from this. And I mean, stuff like, example, the stuff that the youth are exposed to now.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen live stream murder.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Live stream murder.
But the difference is they see 20 hours of murder, violence, ignorance, but they're going to see them 2-3 hours, one more question.
Yes.
At school, at field day.
Yes.
Talking to a kid.
Yes.
Taking the old lady to grocery shopping.
Yes.
Hey, right. With my own boys, talking to them, kicking, cracking joke with my granddaughter, my grandson, with my dog.
Yes.
With your son.
Yeah.
Son, go ahead. Because I asked you a question, but we didn't even give a formal introduction. Go ahead.
Correct.
And introduce yourself to the audience.
Yes, please.
Oh. He was like, oh, yeah. I told you I'm going to get you.
I go by Jalen.
Jalen.
But my first name is Keevion. Also, yes, like I told you earlier, I model. And I also have a clothing brand called The Hustlers Club.
Yep.
And I also do my own motivational speaking as far as on my platform called Talk to Them Too.
Excellent.
What's the influence your father had on you as far as what you see?
The confidence and the strive of continuous to go hard.
I told you walked in with confidence. You're like, nah, I like how you did.
And to never give up, because everything, what they say, glitter ain't gold. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's a way of life that we see and we want the gold. But you got to go through your trials and tribulations. And also it takes the disciplinary. So once you get all that down pat and you stay focused, you're living in the gold universe.
So what's your personal goals?
My personal goals, the biggest goal, because I'm a leader. I lead by example. I don't have to have a name under my belt, so to say. So my biggest goal is to take care of my household. When I have a family.
Okay.
But also just to make way for people in my family that don't have a way to go. Because my others out there.
Mm. Excellent.
Trav, how does it feel to hear your son with those words, man? Talk about it.
Yeah.
They say you had to fight back the tears.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, it's just like that's what I call success. When you've impacted your seeds with a positive premonition to know that life is what you make it. And I led by example as well, like, I don't give a damn about this felony on my back.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Barber can't go into school, but one more question, the nonprofit.
Absolutely.
Ain't no doors they can close in my face. When I'm sitting in the state capitol talking to Senator Jackson about the parole board and the transparency, I wouldn't have never been there if I wouldn't have went to prison, if I wouldn't have been shot, if I wouldn't have had to turn down that plea, if I wouldn't have had to lose everything that I loved, that I thought meant the world to me. And now all I know what means the world to me is the impact that I have on these young men when I'm gone.
That's beautiful. That is
I walk into school with my dude walking down the hallway with my shirt on. Hey, you know who that is? Come here. Sure. His stepdad gave it to him. His stepdad told him about me.
Oh, let's show him the shirt real fast. Mark, yeah, we got the shirts.
Oh, this is behind the track. This is for the documentary. This is for profit. Okay. The one more question, non-profit.
Got you. Okay. All right. Well, you see it right
business.
Right. Okay, so end result, end goal, what we trying to get done, brother? What's the long game?
My ultimate goal is to have the One More Question Life Center. Well, our kids ain't got to come fill out no application. They ain't got to come sit through no 2 hours. A little, what they call y'all getting new jobs?
Interviews, orientation.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you come through the door, what you need, what you got going on, where you from, give me your parents' information, and let's sit down and get you straight.
Boy, I swear, me and my brother's a businessman because I was thinking the same thing as this young man was talking. Sounds like that young man needs a show with two or three of his peers letting his generation know there's another way to success.
Yes. They had to put him on it. They had to put him on it. That's all right. That's outstanding, man. That's beautiful.
I told him the future that I'm going to die in is the future that he's going to thrive in.
Yes.
I got to get him prepared for that thriving.
Okay. So what's your opinions on this generation and things you see as far as the culture, the visions, and the music, and the influence, and you know, what are your thoughts? You could be candid, by the way. You could be wholeheartedly candid. Yeah. We are not the PR platform.
I'm still human, and I hang around
different elements.
No. Don't take. We like, do as
I
well.
I get tired of that, and I know it's a better way of living. I know it's much more out there.
Right.
I've traveled outside the country before. And so I love that. I want to continue to travel.
Okay.
But let me show my people that, all right, it's much more out there than just your product of environment.
Gotcha. It's more than what we got right
here. Yeah, it's more than what we have. All right, that right there, you think this fun? It really ain't fun.
right. This ain't the fun.
Let's go somewhere else. I ain't trying to keep going on.
Downtown, Peach Street,
Edgewood. Yeah, I ain't trying to go to the west side all the time. It's more than that.
I got you. Okay.
Because I've been to L.A. It's beautiful out there.
Yeah. You been.
How was your experience outside of Atlanta?
Tell
us about it.
Well, as far as my own traveling, because I already been outside of Atlanta since a kid.
Okay.
Thank you.
As far as my own traveling, I was traveling with my girlfriend at the time, and it was nice. It was peace and quiet, so to say, just a mind space where I can think on what I really want to be as far as where I'm trying to go, the direction.
Gotcha.
And so that it showed me, okay, it's not just city life out here.
Yeah.
It's actually other living out here where people are actually living on beaches.
Mm-hmm.
Like palm trees every day for real.
Yeah, it takes a bit. And I mean some of us old fools don't find out until later on that the world is bigger. I mean folks that don't leave their neighborhood don't find out.
Yeah, the experience he had going out on his own is really the experience I had when I went to prison, when I met dudes I ain't never been with a woman.
Gotcha.
Ain't never drove a car.
Right.
Don't know what an airport looks like, more less than on a plane.
Wow.
So I'm sitting now. I'm in prison, got to be grateful.
Yes.
For having the life that I did.
Yeah. That's
for
it.
So you just in the confinements of prison had to take the blessings that were given to you in that moment to make it through those moments. Like, okay, so I know, you know, God willing, I'm gonna get out of this situation. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting around this circle of men who, you know, I'm thankful for being a little more inclined with some things that's given to me.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of when I get out of here, it's gonna set me on my path, and I know I could do something different to help everybody around.
Got to.
You know what I'm saying? So go ahead.
Yeah. That's fantastic, sir. Because being able to know that there is another way, for people who in order to get to hope, you have to know that there can be a different way. You have to know that things can be different. Yeah. I mean, I've got friends who, like I said, have never left the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's fear of the unknown or what have you.
It's a little bit of all that. I think you know, unfortunately, we get stuck in our own comfort zone.
Yeah.
My motto is congregate with like-minded people.
Yeah.
So sometimes, and I witness it with brothers who are very close to me.
Yeah.
They keep a small circle of people because they feel like they're out of place once they get around a Mark L, a Travis Barber, whoever it may be, that they may not be the guy that stands out.
Gotcha.
They may not be the guy, you know what I'm saying? Your confidence is now lacked because your confidence is embedded in those people that you got around you. Those people you got around you are the ones saying, yeah, dude, you're doing right. Well, you may not be doing right, or even if you don't even know you're doing right, it sounds different with a different set of ears,
correct,
a different set of people.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So now we got this event, this movie coming out. Let's talk about it, brother.
June the 12th, Fairman, Georgia. I got the address in my phone too. I'm gonna do a movie on the lawn. It's gonna be a all day event from 5 until having these bouncing houses, having the cookout. It's gonna be like a family reunion.
Okay.
And we're gonna watch a documentary of Uncle Trap.
Okay.
You know, like, because most of the kids just know One More Question. They don't know what I went through. They
gotcha.
Don't know I had to, you know, just be stripped away of all that selfishness.
Yeah.
You know?
Gotcha.
So, yeah, the documentary had to, you know, and my family, I thank them for being a part of it because, you know, these are real people, real feelings, real emotion, real trials and tribulations that these people had to pray themselves up out of.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, had to overcome a lot of things to be where they are today. But I thank God that they're able to sit and watch me in this platform as like they did when I was on that fitness stand.
Yeah, I got you. Where they kind of be able to see exactly what you went through. That's inspiration. That's a motivational story. That's because a lot of people don't get that you live many lives. Even though people always say you hear all the time, you only get one life. You know, you only live once. But within that living, there are many iterations and many different people that you are and who you become as you go through your experience. And having that experience and being able to document that, that's going to show people, that's going to give people hope.
Yeah.
It's going to give people hope. And folks that might be in the middle of that get a chance to experience and see that, will realize there's another side to this. There's a way out of this, you know, that doesn't have to end. I mean, come on, we in the community, we know how it normally ends. It's graveyard,
prison yard.
That's it.
And for my brothers that I met along the 10 years journey, my story is just going to give them that much more strength and hope, and just wherewithal to be tenacious when they come out of here and be vigilant about succeeding and showing the world that I'm more than a convict.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm on parole doing all this. I got my own holiday on parole.
Gotcha.
All right.
Two mayors at my party, mayors at the review.
Okay.
Corporals for the sheriffs.
Okay.
It's a whole new world, and my partners know where I stand.
Yep.
With the police and with my people in the street.
Right.
How was it connecting with the police for like the first time?
I know that had to feel crazy, didn't it?
I had to feel a little heat.
After that charge, I wouldn't trust nobody. I'd be like, I can't believe y'all did that to me.
The first event, I'm like, I ain't going in there.
I know, right? There's too many of them. I bet you. It makes me itch.
You know that, don't you? You know that, don't you?
What they say? It was hard at first, but I got through it, and now, you know, like, I find that, you know, they are people too.
Yes.
Especially in prison, I became good friends with the officers and that, because they got more problems than a convict.
Yeah, believe it or not. You probably need more counseling than a convict.
Them,
you
know?
Yeah, I know, right?
But yeah, it was hard, but I knew I got to have more people in my Rolodex than just some thugs.
Right, like you said, you gotta have more on your phone than just some shooters.
I ain't got no problems no more. I don't need no shooters.
Right, no hitters. You know? No hitters.
Everything I'm doing, I'm gonna die by myself.
Right, there you go. There you go. Right on, brother.
Well, man, dude, this was an outstanding interview, outstanding insight. What's next?
I voted for the first time in 46 years.
You did say that at the event.
Absolutely. Right.
How did it feel, man?
It felt refreshing. That was one of the most powerful feelings ever, knowing that I played a major part in the future of the people that are coming behind me.
Yes.
D Law's in office for a while, and I want all my brothers and sisters to know that if you're on parole or probation, you can go vote as long as you don't have any fines that you're behind on.
Okay.
As long as your payments are up to par, you can go vote. Go register, go vote. Please do that.
Okay.
Vote.
And that's important because for so long, we were told, we had it was set that where if you were convicted of a crime,
yeah, they was trying
if you
to
had
run.
A felony,
yes.
They wouldn't let you vote. Yeah. So, but these laws affect you. Absolutely. I mean, they probably affect you more than anybody.
Right.
Right?
Got to vote.
D. Robbie, give that young man some more airtime. Somebody else who appreciates the words of this young man. Once again, brother, you next generation, bro.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I saw him. He walked in here with confidence. You know,
Swagger.
He walked in sure who he is. Didn't have to put on the image or facade or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's you being a speaker, you already know this. So
right.
So we got that coming. Voting. Let's go back to that voting, though.
Yeah.
And the laws that were,
yeah, they no longer standing, and that's the thing. We make everything go viral that's unimportant to our neighborhoods, our communities, our culture, our well-being, and I want them to know that, man. Like right now, I got probably the whole South Side that can get in touch with me by way or another.
Okay.
And when you have a problem with anything going on with these institutions, these schools, these municipalities, when you call me. If I can reach the mayor, the judge, the sheriff, the DA in these counties, then I need you to get the people in office that are connected to me.
Okay.
So we can have some strength, some say-so, and a little bit of favor.
Yes.
And okay. That's where it comes from votes. So when y'all get the people in office that I'm standing behind, we got a little leeway.
Excellent.
Just a little. Not a lot, but just a little.
That's what's up. So we're pushing voting. We're pushing positivity.
Yes.
We're mentoring. We're doing all these great things. And it happens with the journey that we have had to basically survive.
Yes.
You spoke on autism. I'm taking autism. The kids with autism.
Let's talk about autism.
Autism. Yeah. I'm one of the big brothers for the special needs community at Banneker High School.
Okay.
We just did a piece of part over there with the DJ, my man C. Russell, and we had an amazing time with the kids. And I'm going to take all the kids with special needs and autism, taking them fishing on June the 4th.
June the 4th.
Okay.
Yes, sir. They can follow me at onemorequestion.com. This is my IG.
Okay.
Give me the address.
One more question. Yep.
Yes, sir.
The number one, Mo Question. Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N.
Yeah, taking them fishing June the 4th.
Okay. June the 4th?
Yes, sir.
So that's a lot of work, brother. How does it feel with the impact that you have put into the community from where you come from? Just tell us how it feels.
It feels good because I was doing the same thing. We were just negative. And that's in a positive way. Ain't nobody dying. Ain't nobody strung out. Everybody being revitalized and everybody got something to look up to and look forward to.
Right.
And they know when they hear my name, it's going to be something good or something wholesome, something, just family friendly that's going to be attached to it.
Right. Excellent. Great, great, great. Well, once again, we appreciate it, my guy. We appreciate the interview.
Definitely. Thank you for coming in today, man.
What stood out to me when at the Connecting the Links event is when you said that you were looking to network with people who had a similar vision.
Absolutely.
You know, and you called me right there. You know, and we're here, so we're trying to make an impact into the community. Yale Entertainment, Yale Radio Cast, the Mayor Review, Pimp Talk. Shout out to Pimp and Slim and Young B.
Yes.
We got our Divine Timing.
Yes.
We are actually trying to impact the community because we are all impacted in numerous ways.
Yeah.
Not just the legal way, but mentally.
Yeah.
Emotionally. We all have to find our lane to find a way to better our community.
Ooh.
We appreciate what you're doing.
Well, one more thing. I want people to know. It's so important to make donations to your nonprofits. You
yes.
get a tax write-off for it, but I can't do nothing without the funds.
Correct.
I'm not getting a paycheck. When I sell my merchandise, they're going back to the schools, my gas tank, and the resources they need to put on these events and take care of these kids.
Yeah.
So if you're not making donations, you're not buying merchandise, you're not coming to the shows, then you're part of the problem.
Everything we
need is money, man, to take care of our kids.
Right. If you're gonna go ahead and shop at these other entities, we have to put money within to our people to put money back into our community. I love that documentary Killer Mike did. Trigger Warning.
Trigger Warning, yes. Mm-hmm.
Where it, I think it was the second or third episode where he talked about how much the money actually circulates within the black community.
Before it goes out.
Before mm-hmm. it goes out in comparison to the other communities. And we are basically the lowest on the chain.
We
get the money and it goes
the biggest
right
spenders,
out.
Though. Yes. We're the biggest spenders.
But we spend the most. Yes, but we spend it outside the community.
Right. So. All right, any other thing to add in the last words, Jimmy?
I mean, I'm going to just say thank you, man, for coming in today. And it was good chopping up with you and son. Definitely.
And son.
And hearing about your journey. And I can't wait to see.
Well, definitely.
I can't wait to see this because.
Behind the track.
Man, this right here, this story is.
You say
is,
the 12th?
The 12th of June.
November 12th. I'll get that address. And to all the listeners, the watchers, just know that the very the problems that you have, I know some people that are praying for those.
Gotcha.
Praying for your problems.
How
so
about
please,
that?
Be grateful for where you are and what you're going through.
Correct. Absolutely, man. Thank you so
much.
Well,
once again, Behind the Trap, June 12th, out on, what's the address again?
We
gonna get it. And
okay, cool.
We'll get it. And we'll definitely promote it.
You can check for the ad run here on your radio cast and RTV.
We will promote it.
We got you on that end. It's definitely gonna be pushed, and we gonna be out there, bro.
I'm gonna bring my own popcorn.
We out right
now because I'm gonna bring my own popcorn because I'm that dude in the audience. Oh, what you gonna do now?
Okay. Martell is going to be the guy that cries at the end.
Absolutely. It's going to tear me up. Oh, my God. Oh, yes. Save the community. I'm telling you.
So, last words, brother. Last words, young man.
Yep.
Peace and love. KL. Talk to him Tuesday.
Right on.
Talk to him Tuesday.
We're going to try to see if we can get that on the platform.
Last words.
Hey, man, I love y'all. We all we got, and I'm doing my part, man. Just help me out a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just reach out.
Talk about it.
Absolutely.
We're going to get his personal information for support and everything.
Appreciate that.
Markel, what we got, brother?
Hey, man, I'm going to say definitely.
Last words.
Thank y'all so much for joining us on this wonderful Saturday, joining the Mail Review. Please do stay tuned. Don't we got something special coming up?
We got it.
Boy. With the links, one of our sponsors, one of our proud sponsors.
Look here, man.
Look here. The links is cold, man. That's all I got to say. The links is great.
Shout out to Miss Shirley, right?
Shout out, Miss Shirley.
And the whole Stembridge family.
Yes.
Y'all just ain't going to keep me walking.
However, this one time, we're going to do this.
Let me go ahead. Let me pull up this flyer, man. Go ahead and talk real quick, Mark.
Hey, listen, y'all. All I'm going to say is that, look, we try to do big things in the community. We really do want to save our youth. We want our youth to know that they are supported. We want them to know that we are here to see them go forward. Because, I mean, like I said, I'll be 50 this year. You know, come time 60, 65, you know, I want to make sure that the legacy that we leave behind is one that is supportive and that can be sustained throughout the generations to come. Absolutely. Because, like you said, the things that we do today, are going to benefit the future generations.
Right. So we got coming up June 18th.
Yes.
Connecting the Links for a Change Community Team Awareness Walk.
Yes.
This kicks off Juneteenth, which is June 19th.
Yep.
The walk starts at 8 a.m. We're going to have live music, public speakers. I'm going to try to see what I can do to get Travis out of that.
We'll try to get Travis out there. Get ready, Travis.
I mean, everybody just ain't willing to walk, Michelle. You just going to have to accept that part. we got three raffle giveaways. And anybody who attended the last event out at Welcome Hall Park, y'all know what we gave out. We're going to try to follow up.
We get the bag out here.
Yeah, we get the bag and we give the bag.
Yes.
Help us get the bag to give the bag.
That's it.
You know, we got water and refreshments. 5495 Old National Highway will be the starting location. Suite A8, College Park, Georgia, 30349. Join us there at 8 o'clock. The walk starts about 8:30. And it's not a long walk. It's like 2 miles, maybe 3 miles. But, you know, just to see us as a collective out at an event together, supporting yes. community awareness, mm-hmm. anti-violence, and all of that, that is what we're here for. Yes. We got council people coming out there. We got Corey Reeves. We got Councilwoman Helen Willis, who was at the last event. Yes. We got Councilwoman Natasha Williams, who will be out there as well. So this is a good opportunity to meet with our public figures within the community when we talk about we need to have this person doing this or this person doing that. This is a great opportunity to connect with the people mm-hmm. within the community. The change starts with us. The movement starts with us. And I want to once again say thank you to the Connecting the Links for allowing Yell Entertainment, RTV, this whole family to be a part of everything that is being put to the forefront. All right?
Last words. Hey, thank y'all for joining us again. Thank y'all for joining the Mail Review. Thank y'all for being in the studio
with the League of Extraordinary. We just talked about donations.
Yes.
At your radio cast.
Yes.
Shout out to the organizations that did donate.
Yes.
Who we sponsored this week, which is Connecting the Links and Ashley Larkin with Damani Speaks.
Yep.
Thank you once again. We will be highlighting the donating companies and nonprofit organizations for an entire month.
That's right.
So
please go ahead. If you want to be the next one, go ahead and send that donation on in. We're just going to throw them on in there.
It might be a whole donation song.
That's it.
Okay.
That's right. So thank y'all again for joining the Mail Review. Thank y'all for joining the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Thank you for talking to the other League. Extraordinary gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Pleasure, thank you, Trav.
Travis, thank you for joining us today. Hey, y'all know our motto is always get the business.
Holla.
Yeah. Radio Cast.